Hey everybody, I'm Jen.
And I'm Tammy.
And they call us Woo.
Welcome back, everybody. Today I had a question for Tammy. I was going to try to spring it on her and just ask her randomly, but I told her the question ahead of time so that it wasn't super awkward because I don't know how I'd respond.
You did give me a choice, so.
Yes, I did give you a choice, yes.
My curiosity got the best of me.
So my curiosity gets the best of me every day. And I think of these weird questions that I ponder and my fiance and I talk about quite often. And a while back, we were driving down the road and we were looking at all of these buildings that look like they have nobody renting them. It's just all these business buildings. Well, they don't look like they have nobody renting them. They look like they're rented, but you don't ever see anybody there. You don't ever see anything happening in the building. And we got in this conversation about what if none of those buildings are really for anything? What if they don't actually exist? And the only reason they exist is because we thought them up in our head and projected them out and our eyes now see them. And so that is the question that I asked to Tammy. What if everything around us doesn't actually exist until our brain thinks it, and then our eyes actually like see the image that's in our brain but projects it outward? So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And oh, Tammy, I want to know what your initial thought is on that. When I asked you, were you like, what the?
Well, my initial thought was that's like a description of quantum physics. And like the theory behind quantum physics is that time and everything around us exists because we make it exist with our singular or shared thoughts. So our intention, like when we talk about being able to be creators, is that we are part of quantum physics is like we are creation and creators. It's all the same. And as far as like the timeline goes and everything else, like everything is right now and everything that is happening is because we have willed it into an existence that's on some form. So when you first said that, I'm like, well, it sounds kind of like a description of the theory behind quantum physics, which is fascinating. I mean, I feel like I have dipped my toe in, and there's probably so much more to learn about that. But it is a really interesting concept because even when people talk about, you know, like manifesting, that is really like a kind of a simple description of basically a version of what you're talking about. Like,
yeah,
we are. But then it's like, then it brings up the question, okay, so the idea is like, what if it's not real? But it is real if we've created it, but also it's not going to be there if we don't want it to be there, which is brings up like the really interesting like okay, so if we all just stop believing that it happened or if we all just stop believing that this thing existed, quantum physics says that it would go away.
The Mandela effect.
Yeah.
Back to
yes, we talked
episode.
About that. I was going to say didn't we talk about something kind of similar before? I couldn't remember if it was deja vu or
Mandela. Well, okay, so the other part of the question, and this is where I got stuck thinking about it. I'm like, oh, that's a little bit weird. Okay, so when we avert our eyes, so let's say I'm driving towards one of those big box stores and it's in front of me. I know it's there because my eyes see it and my brain tells me it's there. And I'm driving toward it. And then I turn away and I'm not looking at it anymore. Did that go away? Is it no longer there because I'm not looking at it?
Quantum physics says it's gone if you're not focused on it.
Yeah,
which is interesting, right? Because then again, it's also like the thing of like, okay, is it because we have this idea of like physical versus like other, right? So like what can be present in our physical world versus other worldly stuff. I don't even know the right word for that. Yeah. But then it's like, what is your definition of physically present? Because again, quantum physics would say, no, if you're not paying attention to it, it doesn't exist in that moment. So it only exists when you're paying attention to it, which would be like everything around you. Did it?
There was a little bit of a glitch, but that's okay.
It was a glitch in the matrix.
That's what I thought. I saw it out of the corner of my eye and I was like, what was that?
Well, okay. So then that poses another question. So let's say you go shopping with somebody and you're one person is inside the store and one person is outside the store and you just walk away from the store. Essentially, your friend just disappeared too.
You know, that's actually an interesting thing for me is because when it comes to, I don't know if it's the same, the theory of quantum physics is the same when it comes to like people or beings or entities versus like buildings and stuff like that, because energy is in everything, right? So why would that be any different than, like, everything's made up of energy. So why would that be any different than the person? So. Yeah. But also the kind of fascinating part about all of that is like when it comes to explaining kind of like higher level stuff of like why things happen in the world, there is a lot of truth behind like the mass, I guess, or like many people calling into an existence and a certain experience because we all want to have that or we feel like we need it for some reason or whatever.
Yeah.
But then it's also brings back other things we've talked about. Like, okay, well, soul contracts, like, was it an agreed upon thing, this experience by this mass? Because a lot of us had the same desire to do this thing or I don't know. I don't know.
I know there's so many questions. Like I was also thinking about, okay, so when we're driving down the road and I look one way and my friend is looking directly at this store that we're going to. Okay, the store is still there for them, not there for me, like through my physical eyes. Of course, the energy is still there. That's all still there. But every person, even though in my brain, I know we are all one, we all are part of the same energy field. So every person is another aspect of me who's experiencing and witnessing from a different perspective. However, if we're looking at this from purely human perspective, and I look away and that store is no longer there for me, but my friend is still looking directly at that store is still there for them. So at what level, what is it like? Just your eyes shift away and it's just like everything on that side just fades away? Or is it that when anybody's looking at a particular thing that everybody knows is there because that is what we've been telling ourselves with our brains, that it will still stay in physical existence as long as any person is looking at it? Or is it only there for the person who's looking at it to begin with? Does that make sense to you?
It does. And I think my mind is going to the difference between seeing things with physical eyes and knowing. So, knowing and believing. So if you told me that a tree exists outside my residence, I would never question that because I see the tree.
Yeah.
But if I could convince myself that that tree doesn't exist, even if I was physically looking at the space where the tree was, if I truly believed it didn't exist, is that the difference between knowing? Because then would it no longer be there because I wasn't looking at it? Because even though I was looking with my physical eyes, I knew it wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Are physical eyes giving us, like, are they just giving us reassurance? Or is it... Because in my mind, there's a difference between seeing something with physical eyes and knowing, because obviously I know that you feel the same way because of all the things that we see with non-physical eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
That we know to be true also. Like, there's no question in our minds about the truth or reality of that. just like when we are seeing things on like a different plane, we might be being shown a representation of something so we understand what it is, but that doesn't mean that that's what actually what it quote unquote looks like.
Yeah.
Because it might not have a specific look to it. you know, it might be light. It might be something that needs to give us information. So
I'm very glad that that's where you went with that, because where this question actually ended up leading me was looking at physical symptoms in the body and looking at how people project onto themselves different ailments and different conditions because of what they know, what they know of themselves, or what they think of themselves, really is what it is. So when people are having certain emotions and they're not moving a lot of things out of their energy field, like anger or grief or loss or all of those things, they can create a physical representation of that with the energy.
Yeah.
And it may not truly be there in an energetic sense. Like, it's exactly what you were just saying about that tree. Like, I know that it's not there, but everybody else is seeing it. So like those symptoms that are happening in whoever's system, because they're carrying all this grief or they're carrying all this loss or they're carrying whatever emotional symptom they have, those physical symptoms are there to present so that you can learn from that to give you that that sense of, hey, we need to take a look at this.
Yeah.
And so it was just, it was one of those things that it kind of prompted me when I was looking at this, because I'm like, oh, our human eyes are creating this. Like, our human eyes are seeing this because of the energy and the other components that we're thinking, believing, knowing. We're creating this other thing outside of ourselves. And it's the same with like symptoms and illness and I was all of just these other things.
In a really interesting session the other day where some channeling happened, and we were talking about something really similar, because this person was just, they were just in a state of just exhaustion and a lot of heaviness around physical symptoms that they've been trying to address for a very long time. And sometimes we kind of lose sight of the fact that we are not symptoms. And that was specifically channeled. Like, remember who you are. You are light. You are love. You're not symptoms. And sometimes it's easy to get stuck in that and forget that we are the ones that can call all of this stuff into existence. And also even just acknowledging that sometimes the experiences that we're having, there's no need to judge them, because it's an experience that we wanted to have. Yeah. So we're still calling it into existence, even though it feels like something we want to get rid of.
Yep.
And it takes some of the, it takes some of the sting out, I think, when you look at it from that perspective, and you don't have to judge it that way. Yeah. But also sometimes can help you refocus on the fact that no matter what it is you're using to address those symptoms, you are the power behind it. Like, you, what you believe is what's going to make it work or not. That's why even scientifically placebos work. Because the truth is, there's a lot of powerful medicines out there, and there's a lot of things that you're drawn to, but whether or not it works is entirely up to you, which is probably scary for some people, because it also involves believing in an amount of power that they haven't believed in themselves, or believing that they don't have to just roll with the punches, or being so exhausted from all the stuff that's come at them in their lives that they don't even know how to wrap their brain around, like, wait a minute, why would I do this to myself? You know what I mean? Like, I know it takes a minute to kind of absorb all that stuff. But when I started looking a little bit more into quantum physics, it was fascinating, because it's, I don't personally think it's hard to understand anymore, but there was a point in time where it certainly was. Talking about that, does the tree exist? It always reminds me of the part in the Matrix where the little boy bends the spoon, mm-hmm. and he is telling Neo that the truth is that the spoon doesn't exist. Yeah. And that's how he bent it. And I was like, that comes up in my head all the time where I'm like, well, yeah, if you really got down to the nitty gritty of it and you were like, this only exists because I've created it in my mind. That's basically what he was saying.
Yeah.
Is then I can do whatever the heck I want with it.
Yep.
And it's kind of funny because no matter how much I have enjoyed that movie, that certainly didn't hit the same way until after I started looking into this other stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah. Well, they were talking about some stuff that I didn't realize they were talking about.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. I was looking down there to see if, like, my bent spoon, I have some construction. We just put a floor in my office. So all of my stuff is all over the place right now.
Yeah, you have some experiences with bending spoons.
My bending spoon, I think, is down there attached to a thing. And I'm like, can I reach it from here? Can I reach it? I might be able to reach it. It's actually, so spoon bending is an interesting thing because there are different levels of spoon bending. And it does take a whole lot of belief. And the first time that I went to, I took a class at the Monroe Institute, and we've talked about the Monroe Institute on here before. And one of the things that you got to do during this was to bend a spoon. Another thing you got to do was light a light bulb with your hands. And I went into the spoon bending like portion of it, like, I'm totally gonna bend this spoon. Actually, I was gonna bend a fork and I was gonna twist the tines and I was gonna do all these beautiful things because that's just the way that my brain was thinking when I went into it. I'm like, I got this, I could do this, it's gonna be so great. And we got in that setting, and the person who was sitting next to me, I think it was the person who was sitting next to me, was the first person to bend their spoon. And I was like, son of a, because then in that moment my human brain started going, my ego started going, and I'm like, I'm not as good at this as I thought I was gonna be, this sucks. Like, so then I kind of like lowered my vibration a little bit, mm-hmm. got into this place of, oh crap, what if I can't do this, and then mm-hmm. I got panicky and like put all these other energies into it, and like all these people are starting to bend their spoons, and I was like starting to get like emotional and weepy, and I'm like, I'm never going to be able to bend my spoon. And blah. I wasn't crying at that point, but I was like on the verge of tears because I was so upset, because I was so confident that I knew how to do this. And it was interesting because you weren't, like, a lot of people have it in their head that it is like the Matrix. You look at the spoon and the spoon just bends. Like, the first mm-hmm. time that you do it, the spoon will just bend. And that's not the way that we were doing it in this workshop. It was like teaching yourself to trust the movement and that the atoms were flexible and that you could just bend it. And so you were actually holding on to the front and the back of the spoon, and you were like trying to bend it. And we picked spoons. Like, they told us the first time, they're like, probably don't pick the hardest spoon to bend, but don't pick one that's just going to bend. And like, there was no way that I was just going to bend my spoon. It was a pretty stiff.
Like, physically?
Yes. But that's what they were having us do, was like, do that motion like we were bending the spoon, and like try to bend your spoon that way so that you knew like how hard it would actually be to bend the spoon. So it was partly teaching yourself, okay, this is what it feels like now. Mm-hmm. And then once you got into the flow of it, and once you started to recognize exactly like the sweet spot of communicating with the energy of the spoon, you could literally feel the spoon starting to get malleable. And it was almost like, you know, when a candle has been lit for a long time and you can take the wax and you can just kind of squish it. Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like.
Hmm.
Like, it was so bizarre because, so I actually did not bend my spoon in that first session. Mm-hmm. A few people stayed after with me, one of the instructors, and then a couple of my friends stayed afterwards. I'm like, you can do this, Jen. You can do this. And the instructor goes, just bend it. Just bend it. And I was like, I'm not going to just bend it with physical force. I don't want to do that. That's not what I want to do. And she's like, just do it. And so I went to do it. And as soon as I went to do it, it was like, I knew I could bend the spoon. But as soon as I went to do it, it was like the energy of knowing that I could do it, like interacted with it. And the spoon just like melted. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, and they're like, grab another one. Do it quick. So I did another one right away. And it was so different. Like, because I could feel, like, I knew what I was feeling for, and I knew I could do it at that point. So it was so much easier. Mm-hmm. And it really was just like a half-melted wax candle just bending. Mm. And it is, it's knowing that you can do it and right. having that belief in yourself. I'm going to see if I can reach this.
Which Keep is a talking. Much deeper level, right? Because that was, as you were talking about that towards the end, it popped into my head. So my hypnosis session that, so Jen is showing the spoons right now that she bent and she's putting them over her eyes.
It's backwards though, so I can't cover my eyes with them appropriately.
They are very, they're bent. Very bent.
Uh-huh. In ways I wish they were spinny.
They would have had to be probably melted otherwise to bend.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because they've actually done studies on them. And I don't know if I talked about this before, but they've done studies on spoons that have been bent this way and or silverware, anything, metals that have been bent this way. And they don't show any signs of physical manual manipulation. Whereas like if you heat them, it will show like that the molecules changed because of the heat. If you bend them with force, there's like breakage that happens. And this way, it's just like it was formed that way.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Anyway, that was my little tangent about that.
yeah. Well, I was just connecting it to the hypnosis session that really started like my huge breakthrough to all this other stuff that I can access now, or awakening or whatever you want to call it, was actually the session where I got this... I mean, I've peeled back layers and layers in hypnosis, so it wasn't like it happened in one session, but where I got the very deep realization of not fully trusting myself on a very deep level and breaking through that and acknowledging and accepting the knowing and kind of embracing and feeling that love and like regaining that trust, I guess you could say, is what shifted everything. And I think that's kind of what, going back to like what we're talking about, like what you're talking about with the spoons and stuff too, is like feeling confident and having like that actual deep like belief. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't know that they're two different things until you experience something like that. And you're like, I thought I knew. But then whatever happens, that you peel back these extra layers, and then all of a sudden that deep knowing hits you and you're just like, oh, that was a different level of belief that I didn't have before. So when we're talking about this, does the building exist? Does it not exist? Whatever. It's not just like, if I stand in front of a building and just think really hard that it's not there, will it disappear? Mm-hmm. It's like a deeper, like real level of belief.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you practice, you don't always know the difference between the two. But it's the same reason that, you know, like when I was doing the whole money mindset thing that I've been going through, where they're talking about people who money seems really easy to them. Well, they have a level of trust that money is always going to help them because that's been their experience.
Yeah.
So it is a little harder when you haven't had that experience, like say, you know, people who are born into a family with a lot of money, they have an expectation around it that they just they've always been able to trust. It's a little harder when you weren't born into that experience, but it doesn't mean it's not possible, because it's easy for them because they have no reason not to believe that it will be easy.
Yeah.
So it's like you can apply that to anything. You can apply that to money. You can apply that to anything in the world. And, you know, apparently also physical buildings and spoons and stuff.
I'm excited for the day that I can walk up in front of a building and be like, I know you're not there. And then just walk through it. Like, I am so excited for that day.
And then the really trippy part is like, so the people inside of it, they're going to have a whole different experience while you're walking through the building. They're very much just sitting in the building knowing it's there. While you're like, nope, it's not there.
Yep. Which, so then are they going to see me walking through a wall? Or are they going to think that, or are they not going to see me at all?
I suppose it would depend on if you wanted to be seen, right? Like, if your intention was, I'm going to walk through this building and everyone's going to see me, then that would be different than I'm just going to walk through this building because it's not there.
I'm totally going to walk through a wall so that people could be like, what just happened? Like, I totally want that to be the thing that happens. It's going to be the greatest day.
Well, you'll have to let me know when that happens so I can also see. And then that brings up the other questions, right? Of like, if you're carrying anything, is that also going to go through the building with you? Would you have to think about that hard enough? Or does its own energy stop it from doing that?
Oh, that would suck. That'd be like those dogs that go and pick up the really big stick and then they try to walk through the door. And the stick hits the door and they're like, I don't know what to do. They like turn their heads and that's totally going to be me. that's totally going to be me the first time. I'm going to walk through the wall and my purse is going to get stuck or something. And I'm going to be like, ah. And then that's going to be everybody's experience. They're going to be seeing me walk through this wall and then get stuck. And then they're going to be telling people and everybody's going to think they're nutty. That's what I'm creating.
Well, no matter if you get stuck or not, people will probably have some stories to tell other people.
Oh, I'm sure.
But, you know, when you look at like monks, for instance, that have learned ways of completely doing things that people didn't think were possible ever.
Yeah.
Levitating, having these, you know, not needing to eat, laying on beds of nail, like all these other things that there's documented times that people have done these things. Yep. It's like they have, I suppose when you're in that space for long enough, right, where you're like always in that connected space and you really get to the point where there's nothing that you don't believe anymore, that stuff starts to become easier.
Yeah.
But it's not outside of the realm of possibility.
No. So have you ever heard of the book, The Masters of the Far East? Mm-mm. It's a 5-book series. It's like they're small books. But it's about these American researchers. I don't know if they're researchers or if they're theologians, or I don't remember exactly who it is that starts this trip. But they travel all over the Far East to learn from different masters. And people that have been able to levitate, and people who have walked through walls, people who can get food out of thin air. Like, they'll just be standing there and a loaf of bread will show it their hand. Like, all of these crazy stories. These people wrote this book after traveling out there for years and years and years and meeting all of these masters of the Far East. And they documented all of their experiences with them. And it's amazing. My fiance and I read them together. We read a lot of books together. He reads them out loud. It's like story time every day at our house. Awesome. I'm like, yay. But so it's like story after story after story of these incredible miracles happening. And it's like the people who are there experiencing and walking with them, they're like, how did that happen? And as you get further and further in the books, they're just like, yep, that happened. And they just go along with it. And things are starting to happen for them too, because they're in this environment where they're being taught that it's possible. So then they start to believe. And it's like people walking on water, people walking through blizzards, and like this protective bubble around them where they don't feel the cold, and they're just walking through the cold without appropriate gear. And all of these beautiful things that just can happen if you believe and know that they can happen. I would highly recommend those books. They get you thinking about your own life and like, oh, could I do this? I could totally do this. How am I going to do this?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of, I guess, importance behind everybody really acknowledging and leaning into this right now, too, because understanding and accepting your power, which you're acknowledging your power doesn't take anyone else's power away. It's all part of the same power source. And acknowledging that means that you can tap into this whole beautiful network of power too, right? So like you're talking about people doing this on their own. Imagine how much more powerful everything is going to be when all of us understand and believe that. And it's we're all calling all of these things into existence that we want to be in our existence. Yeah. It's like the possibilities are endless, but also it's kind of a beautiful, supportive way of looking at that too. It's the same as people talk about, you know, when they go to any type of group spiritual ceremony, whether it be church or a meditation circle or whatever, like how much more powerful it feels. Like, it's because it is, because it's people with shared beliefs all coming together to focus on the same thing. Like, imagine all the spoons we'll be bending.
I'm just gonna go to the thrift store and buy a whole bunch of spoons. And I'm going to start looking at my spoon bending skills again, because I have not bent a spoon since I went. Yes, I should. I want to. I'm going to, because I don't want to ruin my own spoons in the house. Because I like my spoons. I would be so sad if I bent them all. When we came back, I was a little bit afraid that I was going to be like eating and I was going to get really joyful or something, because one of the things you can use is joy to help you get to that state to help manipulate matter. And I was afraid that I was going to come home and I was going to be eating with my spoon and that I'd get so happy and my spoon would just flop. I was like, I don't want that to happen.
Well, you didn't have that intention, so that probably changed everything.
I don't know. One of these days, I'm pretty sure it's probably going to happen just because it's in my brain.
Because now you're curious?
Yes, because I kind of want it to happen. I just don't want it to happen with my spoons.
So there you go. That's a good way to do it. Get a thrift store spoon and just keep trying.
I'll just carry them with me everywhere. Whatever.
Wouldn't it be the weirdest thing people have carried around before?
No, I carry much stranger things with me all the time. I'm sure of it. Like, I have antlers in my car.
Well, yeah. We might need to talk about more of that stuff another day.
Actually, okay, so we just had an eclipse. A beautiful eclipse. Did you do anything for the eclipse?
I didn't do anything particularly for the eclipse, but I was working in really wonderful sessions with people that day. And I do know of people who specifically went to view it, or, you know, did ceremony around it that had some really emotional experiences from it. A lot of people said it felt like a reset for them.
Yeah. This was super, super powerful. We actually got to be outside and see it. And the movement of energy was so, so strong. And the antler thing brought it up for me because I was sitting meditating on the on the deck at the lake. There we go. Not on the dake. I don't even know what that is, but I was meditating on the deck at the lake and I had my eyes open and I was looking across this bridge that's at like going across the edge of the lake. And there was this woman on the other side of the lake, a spirit who was on the other side of the lake. And she like beckoned me over. And this bridge had had caution tape when it was purchased. And like, so one of the posts on the bridge is kind of out and does this wonky ways thing. So we haven't been out on the bridge. And I was like, I told my fiance, I really want to go over there because she asked me to come over there. And he's like, well, I'll go on the bridge and see like what it is. So he went and climbed out on the bridge and he's like, it's fine. It's actually really sturdy. So we went across the bridge, get to the other side of the bridge and where this woman was standing, we find the whole skeleton of a deer. And deer energy is beautiful, beautiful medicine. And so I did a little bit of a blessing ceremony there and collected the bones so that I can do ceremony and incorporate this deer into ceremony to bless other people. So that was part of my eclipse day. And that is, I don't have antlers from that deer in my car. I have other antlers that are usually in my car because other stories. but we also that day found out that there is a fox den on the property. So this beautiful red fox came out and we saw a little baby fox kit, like aww, a little baby.
Cool. And
yeah. So we got all kinds of animal medicine on the eclipse day.
I love that.
And I am choosing to believe that they are really there in all aspects of life because they were beautiful and they were there to support us in our eclipse energy. But yeah, so that was my eclipse experience. Well, part of it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a crazy story about that, but it was really cool to hear everybody else's stories around that and what experiences they got and how it felt for them.
Yeah. I don't know. I really enjoyed the fact that so many people were experiencing the changes and the shifts in energy. Mm-hmm. And I saw so many people that were changing perspective on things and looking at things different and having a deeper knowing about themselves and a deeper knowing about where they wanted to be. Like I talked to so many people down here that were talking about knowing how to move forward now and knowing what they actually want to be doing and seeing themselves, envisioning themselves in those places. Cool. And a lot of it was stemming from the energies that were shifting from that. So
I love that.
Yeah. It was beautiful. It would be awesome to hear how other people's perspectives have changed. And if you have any perspectives about buildings appearing and disappearing or anything like that. I'd like to hear those stories too.
Yes.
If that's ever happened to you.
Oh, if that's happened, I really want to hear that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, thanks for bringing up an interesting question today.
Yeah. Thanks for talking to me about it. Mm-hmm. And thank you everybody for listening. We will see you next week.
If you want more woo, please feel free to check the links in the description. Of course, we love hearing from you, so keep letting us know all of your lovely ideas. Have a beautiful day, our wonderful woo mates.